So welcome to the Assembly Saints. This is Chief Teacher Maria von Andersack, and I'm part of the Restored Government of God. I'll be starting the exhortations tonight, followed by Narissa, then Cody and Dion will be reading the sacrifices for us. We'll be studying a few verses from Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, where Apostle Paul says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." The conflict that Apostle Paul speaks of is the conflict of prayer. God's stewards of grace pray for the saints. This also speaks of the role that God gave to his government, which is to oversee his saints. God's sons and daughters are not born into his house as orphans to make their own way, but rather they are cared for by God through his stewards. When Paul says, "I would have you to know," he isn't speaking of sharing his heart, but rather he's lifting out to their understanding this connection that he's making to stewardship. It also speaks of our faith, that it is cognitive, and that's why Paul says, "I would have you to know." Our faith is not blind. So then Paul goes on to expand on the direction of his prayers in verse 2, where he says, "That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ." So, while we do pray for the physical needs of the saints, and we do stand in agreement with their petitions, it's clear where God focuses the labor and prayers of his steward. Let's read that verse again. "That their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." So prayer is directed to the covenant where God's care is experienced, and thus the heart receives comfort. So what do we mean when we speak of God's comfort? This is not an earthly comfort, whereas the heart finds solace when the aspiration is encouraged, but it is an environment. The environment of the priesthood. When we attend the altar of Christ with our spiritual sacrifices, we have come to a place of solace and comfort as we labor with the anointing, having access to the Father. God's comfort is shaped by his covenant, where faith is directed into the priesthood, where the anointing knits truth to the heart and knits the hearts of the saints together in the same record and the same confirming witness and power from above. The conflict of prayer and the instruction to direct faith to the priesthood also points to the importance of the stewardship of grace by all the saints, even as Apostle Paul then brings out, saying, "unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding." Full assurance speaks of the power by which we overcome the shadow of doubt in our growth cycle. We are fully assured that faith meets God's expectation, because the anointing forms our understanding as we draw from the foundation of truth for our reflections. The true riches is the abounding of our understanding of the mystery of Christ by the anointing, which gives legs to our faith. So, and that's what we see in the word too, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of Christ and of the Father and of God. Our faith has the fellowship in the Godhead. Our faith is called to be active at Jesus' altar. By our labor with truth, we are fully prepared to give an answer to God according to the purged conscience. These are the true riches God has reserved for his saints, and this is what we partake of every time the saints steward the grace of God. So let's move on to verse 3. "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge?" In whom? What does that speak of? It speaks of Christ. And Christ means covenant. In whom? In Christ. In covenant. God hid his treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, earlier, Apostle Paul called these the true riches of the soul that the soul must possess. We are not returning to God with an empty vessel, but rather a vessel that carries the increase of his fruit and virtue. So then, in Christ, in his covenant, God hid his knowledge, which we access as we draw from the foundation of truth. The stewardship establishes this connection for the saints, as our hearts are filled with truth, as we keep our vessel filled by the study of his doctrine, our soul is being prepared with fruit in our growth cycle. This brings to mind a vision that teacher Adina received on the 12th of December, 2020. What she saw, what the Lord showed her in this vision, was two drops of blood falling down on her Bible, which was open. Now, the blood of Jesus is the blood of the covenant, and the open Bible refers to God opening our understanding of the record of Christ. His word is open to those who see Christ confirmed in the scriptures. The blood of Jesus sanctifies the tool of truth, and the vision is meant for our exhortation also to continue steadfastly to read the scriptures, listen to the preaching of truth by those confirmed into the government of God and the saints who confirm the same. Now, further reflecting on the two drops of blood, we see in the number two, the record and the witness, that are both joined in Christ. This means that as we read the scriptures from a covenant perspective, that we live by the living witness of the anointing increasing in grace and fruit. So moving on to Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, let's read verse 4. And this I say, lest any man beguile you with enticing words. In this verse, Apostle Paul confirms why he is setting truth in order. It is a defense for the saints. Truth is our gauge. Truth is our scale. Truth gives us eyes to see Jesus. Truth is therefore our discernment. Lest any man, which refers to false knowledge, is carried by the aspiration of man. Lest any man trick your senses with words that entice the imagination and provoke the principle. Now let's move on to verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So let's look at that verse. That which gives joy to the heart of the stewardship also reflects the joy of God's heart, doesn't it? The steadfastness of your faith in Christ, which means your faith is mobile. You're walking in cadence with the Lord. The word steadfast points to the three C's of our faith: consistency with the knowledge and the tools, conformity to the anointing, and communication of our charity. Though Paul was not present with these saints, he heard the report of their charity and reflected upon their labor with truth. The steadfastness of faith to labor with the anointing also speaks of the endurance of faith with the things of Jesus Christ. And let's read that in 1 Corinthians 13:7. Whereas we hear that we bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. To bear all things points to the yoke of knowledge we carry in Christ. Being yoked to his knowledge, we are tethered to the Godhead. We're tethered to God's work and care. To believe all things points to the terms and tools of the new covenant. These are the holy things the anointing works with to form Christ in us. To hope all things points to God's expectation and joy, which we keep before us. As our faith touches the things of Christ, God daily gives substance to our hope. Amen.